everybody. I am Julia Elliott.
And I'm Kathy Stone.
And we are on podcast episode part two of our conversation with Terry Hansen. We really thought it'd be beneficial to split these up into two different episodes. There's so much great information, and we wanted to make sure that all of you listeners could gather everything and process your thoughts. Kathy, how excited are you for this podcast?
There are no words.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This one will have all the stuff about separation anxiety that many parents worry about right now. So I'm really looking forward to this.
This is probably going to be our best podcast.
Woo! Yeah. All right. So with that being said, we will pick up where we left off with Terry last time.
Sounds great.
We are back.
Okay. Hit me.
I've got so many questions. I was just sitting there getting distracted by my dog's mouth noises. I don't know if that's like a trigger to anybody else, but I'm like, oh, the mouth noises.
I could talk to you guys for days.
I know. Well, and again, asking for a friend, all of this is hypothetical, Terry. None of this is all on me. But but my question with the board and the board and train stuff. So Daisy, my bulldog. The story about how I got her is she was a Petland puppy who fell from the top cage, hurt her head, and was going to be sent back to the breeder for their words. She's now special and they can't chance that dog. So they were going to put her down. So I said, no, thank you. I'll take her. So I took her. She's a great dog, smart as can be, the exact opposite of what they thought she was going to be. The only issue is I was in college. I had one dog. I couldn't take her. Bulldogs, you know, they have the reputation of being expensive, bad health. I just didn't want to take the chance. So my sister took her from me. My sister had another dog, opposite personality of a bulldog, very shy, timid, likes her personal space. So as Daisy and her grew up together, personalities did not mix. And they did the board and train to try to correct the behavior issues with each other. They would lash out at each other. They would fight. They would get into issues. And the training place said, yeah, we can fix that. We can probably fix it. They didn't. Yeah. And they didn't. And she's been with me now for 3 years and hasn't had any behavior issues, but I can't bring her back over to my sister's house because of the second they see each other, it's like game on type of setting. So my question to you with those types of board and train things, is there something that, I guess it's a vague question. I know the answer is yes, but things that you just can't fix, whether it's at a training facility or coming to somebody's house and seeing how they're training their dogs, is there some stuff that's just, you can't do anything about it? And maybe that dog should just be in a single home. You know, you hear that all the time. This dog's great. Personality's awesome. Good with kids, but can't be with other animals.
I think the short answer to that would be probably yes. The question is knowing, is that dog the dog that can't be? And there's only one way to find out, right? Try. You know, that being said, if you called me and said, hey, this is what's going on, and this is what we've already been through, you know, I would have questions to ask you, like, you know, the two dogs. First of all, let me back up and say this. Do you like everyone?
True.
Is everyone like you? Right?
True.
Okay. And it's not that as a general sense, I feel like overall people expect, not saying you, hypothetically, people expect their dog to like everyone, every dog they come in contact or whatever, right? It's just not realistic. Okay. However, that aside, because that might be the case, like you just, you know, two dogs that you, no matter what you do, you're not going to get them. You know, I'm not trying to get dogs to like each other, to exist peacefully, not have to necessarily even interact.
Yeah.
But, you know, oftentimes owners want their dogs to interact. They want them to be able to play together and all that. And it's like, that could be unrealistic. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know until we try. So.
Yeah. Well, and she's the life, like she loves camp. You put her in the littles at camp and you literally cannot pull her out of camp. And that's why I'm saying it's just this one specific dog. That she just cannot be around. And that dog, my sister's dog, can't be, like, she just doesn't, she was fine before Daisy, after Daisy, now she just does not like any dog. So originally we thought the quote unquote issue was Daisy, but it's not, you know, she's not, right. She's been perfectly fine with us for 3 years and we haven't had any issues. And right. I love camp, love so social, loves other people, loves other dogs. But I think that that word that you said you didn't like is fix, is that's what a lot of people think that they can do, is just fix them, fix the right. issue, send them away. I'll deal with it when they get back and you've done all the hard work. And that's just right. not realistic.
It's not realistic. And that's not a word that should be used, because we can't, as trainers, if your dog could talk, maybe we could figure out what the problem is, like what's the root issue that's causing these, for lack of a better word, side effects, but we can't. So all we can do is do what we know to do and work with the dogs and see, you know, what if those two dogs are never together again forever. Your dogs are living two happy lives, it sounds yeah. like. Okay. Yeah. Here was one of the questions I had. Did they do remote collar training?
No.
Okay. Because that makes a huge difference also.
Yeah. I love remote, and I'm guilty of using it the incorrect way, because everybody thinks like, no, don't do that. Hit the button.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yes. And then you always hear the positive reinforcement training, but for some reason the human in me just is like, no, just don't do that, you know?
Right. To that point, like, people think that if you're doing remote collar training, it's all negative. You know, when people call, first of all, me, they're always asking, how do I stop this? How do I stop that? This is going on. I want to stop. So we talk a lot about correcting those things. But on the other side of that is all positive reinforcement. You have to teach the dog what you want them to do. That's like, you know, that would be, if we didn't do that, that'd be like somebody telling you everything you're doing wrong, but never telling you what they want you to yeah. do. And just because we don't talk about it as much doesn't mean that's not what we're doing. That's absolutely what we're doing. You know, when we're teaching them sit and down and come and when called, it's all positive reinforcement.
Yeah. I think we forget that dogs are mini humans at the end of the day. It's like, we just think that they know what we're talking about. They've got no idea.
Zero. Yeah. So it's a balance. Guess what? That's why they call it balance training.
Yeah.
You know, balance. And it's actually heavy on the positive reinforcement. So, and then correcting the things that you don't want. That's like, again, back to children, you yep. know, can't just love them and praise the things they do right and ignore the things that they don't do or yeah. do or knowingly do something that's wrong. You're just going to let that go and just keep praising it. No, there's consequences, right? Yeah. Like we all live with consequences for yeah. our actions, be them good or bad. That's just life. And in nature, by the way, Mother Nature is cruel. And I know there's a group of people out there that have a hard time with any kind of negative or correction or corrective action or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, there's a great video on YouTube, a mother golden retriever correcting her puppies pretty vehemently, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that, Kathy?
I have. Yeah. It was really interesting to watch.
It's really interesting. And, you know, I always say, look, she's not mad at them. She's just conveying information. You know, that behavior, that thing you're doing right now is unwanted. Chill out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them, I love that some of them get the message right away. And then there's some others that don't, and she has to kick it up a notch, right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's pretty brutal, but nobody's feeling bad because it's a dog doing it to a dog, right? But if a human corrects a dog, oh, shouldn't do that, you know?
Terry, I have to ask, because my dogs hear the sound of your dog's dog toy. Is that the one where it flips and makes the noises and sometimes yes. the treats will pop out?
Yes.
They have the same one. They're like, what is that? I hear it. And their ears are all perking up whenever they hear it. I'm like, I think that's the same toy they have.
It's here.
Yep. That is so funny. They recognize the sound right away.
I noticed that they came closer to you, Julia.
Yeah.
Ears going on behind.
They're hovering now. They think I have it up here. That's what's going on. And I'm like, go away.
That's how she turns her kibble. So she's over there working it.
Having the time of her life. That's what I love, those toys that like mental stimulation toys.
Yeah.
These dogs that just keeps them busy. And my husband's favorite one is when he's trying to clip their nails to give them that lick mat with the peanut butter on it. I'm like, that'll keep mine busy for a very long time.
Yeah, nail clipping. That's a whole nother podcast right there too.
Yep. Right? Yeah. Yeah. See, now we go down a rabbit hole and we'll just start talking about nail clippings and all of a sudden we're on a different podcast, Kathy.
Pull her back out. She's
going down. Oh, man. But so, but yeah, I think boot camp is an interesting.
Yes. We just sent one of our campers to Terry for some assistance. And basically at the end of the day, the dog had no manners with other dogs, at least at camp. And that would get him in a lot of trouble because he would never stop. And when the other dogs would tell him to stop, he wouldn't listen. Mm-hmm. So back to the mama Golden with the babies, obviously this poor dog never had that mom's learned.
Well, you know what, it's important to understand that, okay, so maybe that puppy was with his mom for 8 weeks, okay, and maybe for four of that eight or two of that eight, you know, it was kind of learning that lesson. 2 weeks is a short period of time. Then it goes into a household where, again, unknowingly, owners just kind of let it ball, excuse my language, ball, you can cut this part out, balls to the wall, right? Like, And we encourage that excitement and we think it's wonderful and he's just being a puppy and woohoo. No, we need to teach puppies exactly what that mom dog was teaching. You know, most of the time we just pretty much chill out. Yeah, there's times for play, but it should be initiated by us, the humans. This is my belief and a lot of trainers. But the rest of the time we're pretty chill. We're doing chill things. We're not allowing puppies to just run around the house, because this is what a lot of people do. Just let that puppy run around all day long until it tires itself out. And then I always say falls out from exhaustion, right? Well, what that puppy is then learning is when I'm awake, I go, 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 until I'm exhausted. Then I go to sleep, right? So what you're training it by just allowing that behavior is a hyper-adrenalized dog that doesn't know how to be calm. Doesn't know how to settle. Now you put that in with other dogs. Holy cow. And I am also not a believer that we should let the dogs, I'm air quoting here for those of you who can't see, work it out, right? Yeah. Like, no, you know, that would be like, back to kids. If I have two children and, you know, let's say my kids are all grown, but like when they were little, let's say they're in the back seat back there, I'm driving somewhere and they're, you know, whatever, somebody accidentally bumped somebody, the other one's like, hey, you know, and then you get, he's touching me. And then they're sticking their tongues out at each other, maybe start to poke each other and call each other names. Pretty soon they're back there duking it out. Would you let it get to that level before you intervened? No, you would stop it way before that. You would intervene and let them know, hey, we don't act like that.
Yeah. And what I would do with my kids is I would pull in the neighborhood and stomp on the brakes when they weren't expecting it.
Oh, I love that.
And then they'd be, and I'd say, just stop it now.
Yeah.
Right. That's great. Yes.
That's funny. And that's kind of what you're saying we need to do with puppies as well, is put the brakes on. Just stop it.
Yeah.
And teach them how to interact with other dogs in a not like losing their mind kind of fashion, you know? But the way that we teach them to be calm and chill most of the day is through crating and commands, down and place. Those are times when the dog is just chilling out.
Which is the exact opposite of what people think you're supposed to do with a puppy. The excuse of it's puppy energy. Just let them run around until everybody thinks that. Every single person thinks that is the best way to tire a dog out. And I guess I couldn't be that way, because when I got Maggie, my first dog, I was in school. So she learned to calm down, because a lot of her time was nap times in your crate when I'm home, and nap times when I'm in class in your crate. And pretty soon that crate was like a penthouse to her. She loved that thing after a while. And so she's so calm now. And I'll bring her to camp sometimes and she just stands there and is like, I don't, you know, she doesn't really like to play all that much, but my bulldog, she'll relax, but she has a switch where she's like, let's go, I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
But it's just such an opposite of what people actually think you're supposed to do when it comes to training a puppy is, well, tire them out and then try to tell them to relax.
Well, you know, do we do that with human babies?
Yeah.
No, we don't. We put them down for naps, don't we? You know,
we should.
Well, you know, I always say we don't wait for a baby to have a meltdown before we put them down for a nap. We put them down for a nap to avoid the meltdowns.
Yeah.
You know? And just because babies can't infants and whatever, or, you know, tiny ones aren't like racing around our house like a puppy. They're still babies. So our puppies are still babies, you know, and they need that downtime for many reasons. You know, we're talking about one of them, but also like to rest, to relax, to grow for their developing brains. So more people need to understand it, because also that cuts down on a lot of the negative behaviors that are happening when they're racing all over your house and they're peeing and pooping everywhere because they can't, you know, the muscles aren't strong enough to hold it back. And then people are kind of dumbfounded as to why is my dog peeing and pooping all over my house? He's that they're getting into things, they're chewing things, they're jumping on things, they're climbing on things. All of that would be not happening if you created and were working on commands like down in place.
Yeah.
So
very, so very true.
Multiple benefits come from that whole thing.
Yeah. You know? So moving to our next topic, which is specific behaviors. My first question for you on that is, can you train? And this is a question that one of my friends actually asked me to ask for this training is, can you train a dog that has separation anxiety? Is there a training method to help a dog with separation anxiety to get them to understand that the crate is a good place? And if I'm not with you, it's okay. You know, you hear those stories about these animals that just destroy houses. And that's why also another reason of why sometimes these animals can't stay with certain people. And so is there a way to help benefit that dog to realizing it's okay to be by yourself?
Yes. There are many levels of separation anxiety, as like you just mentioned, like some of the most extreme, right? And then also, you know, like the crate breakers, the ones that bust out of crates and break their teeth on bars and, you know, yada, yada, all the different things that dogs do. First of all, that right there should be a commercial for why you should crate train your dog from the get-go, right? Yeah. Not wait till it escalates to that point. But, you know, that is a very in-depth subject, just in the fact that there's so many factors going on there. I'm going to make a blanket statement. Most of the behaviors, most if not all things that are wrong with dogs are lack of leadership, lack of structure, lack of discipline. So that dog that is whatever's going on, but in this case, we're talking about, you know, a very high level of separation anxiety. That didn't happen overnight. There were a lot of things going on that shouldn't have been going on to get to it to that point. And not that the owners, that someone that owns a dog like that, you know, was purposefully mistreating or not knowing, you know, they just didn't know what to do or what we're doing. And, you know, you can have a dog, you can have a litter of 10 puppies. And in that 10 puppies, on one end of the scale could be more timid, nervous, anxious personality, all the way up to very outgoing, pushy, very like assertive personality, and lots of different things in between. I think it's less about how they start out, then do you know what to do with that to create the kind of this middle ground type of dog? I'll say this, every dog that comes here for board and train must be crate trained, because we can't have untrained dogs running around loose. Neither can any place that boards dogs or board and train or whatever. So day one, we're working on crate training because we have to. At an in-home with a client and we're talking about crate training their dog, and they're saying things like my dog cries or whines or hates the crate or whatever. I'm just telling you this because so that you can know that it can be done, because we have to do it. To what level do we have to go through to get that dog comfortable in the crate depends on the dog. And sometimes it involves a remote collar so we can block certain behaviors from happening because the dog can hurt itself otherwise. Yeah. And really that's what we're doing. When a dog comes for board and train, first of all, the first thing we do in terms of like all the training, it's all leash and collar, leash and a leash attached to a collar. We're doing food and clicker training. We go through all the basic commands. Kennel training is one of them, you know, with all of that before we ever start remote collar training. So we're train them and then we retrain them with remote collars. When they first get here on day one and we're working on them, among other things, but, you know, kennel training, which is going in and coming out of the kennel, going in and coming out, going in and coming out. I'm not going to lie. Some of those dogs, it takes two of us to get them in that kennel the first few times in that crate. Physically, we have to force them in there and then we have them come out and then we have to physically force them back in. And then we have to come out, back in, out, in, out, in. But pretty soon is usually within minutes, might be 15 minutes, that dog is going in when we say kennel. And that's part of the whole training of teaching them to be okay with being in a kennel. then we're shutting the door, we're walking away. If they whine or cry, we correct that. You know, mm-hmm. we're teaching them the only thing that we want you to do in there is be settled down and be calm.
Yeah.
No. I think
people just have a bad understanding of what a crate truly is. I was like that too when I first, but I didn't have a choice. You know, I knew that this is what I needed to do and I just accepted that. But it's funny, Maggie hated it at first. And then we basically separated it. She had like a bathroom area and then a little bed in the back, and it turned into her literal bedroom for her. She loved her crate after that. And it just took a little bit for me to understand what made her comfortable in her crate, help whatever issues she needed to work through. And then we fed her in her crate and we let her sleep in her crate, and she learned that the crate was good things. I think mm-hmm. that's the other thing that people misuse a crate for is, I'm mad at you and don't want to be around you, go in your crate.
Right.
Do you want to go to your room as a little kid if you're getting, no, you know, so
it's people, the energy. Negative.
Yes. You got to use the positive. It's got to be a fun thing for these dogs. Right. You can't just put them in there because they're going to associate the crate with bad every time.
Yeah, well, they're totally, if you're angry at them when you're like tossing them in there, right? Like they totally pick up on that energy. All the training is and done and should be done with what I call like emotion neutral level of emotion, except for mm-hmm. when you're praising them, which is like, good, yay. And food, we do food training, which means that's how they earn their food. Food doesn't come in a bowl. It comes from us all by hand through training. I mean, some of these dogs that are eating walls and tearing up the house and stuff need to be in crates, and people mm-hmm. feel bad. I always just say, when you're, you know, when do you have kids? Yeah. When your kid was little, did you put them in a crib? Yeah. That's what a crate is. It's a crib with a lid. Nobody feels bad about putting a kid in a crib or a playpen, but they feel bad about putting a dog in a crate, and they should, you know. Yes, there's just like anything else, there's training that goes on with regard to them learning how to be okay with being in it. It can be done. And if you do have a dog that is, you know, one of the ones that tries to bite the bars or whatever, then you might need a special crate, one that they can't do that, you know, for their own safety. Or maybe you just need to reinforce the crate that you have. But again, you need to, it's not just put the dog in there, let's see what happens. We have to teach them, starting with going in and out, but also blocking or correcting any negative behaviors that happen while they're in there. And we don't wait until they're in a full-blown panic to intervene.
Right.
The moment if they scratch, one little scratch on the bottom of the tray, one little whine, one little paw on the door or whatever is where we intervene. We don't wait until they're, why would you wait until they're like, ah!
I know. You know
what I
mean? It's so traumatizing if you do it the wrong way. It really can be.
So, but you know what? Here's the thing. Crates are safety for a dog in terms of like, if your dog can't be left alone in a house without getting into things, what's the lesser of two evils? I'd rather crate my dog and know that it's safe versus leave it out and have it be getting into things that could be swallowing and causing either a obstruction and have to have a surgery or worse, death.
I have a question on separation anxiety. There's been a lot of articles after COVID about they expected a huge uptick in separation anxiety. Have you seen that in your training?
Yes. Well, even now, because, you know, a lot of people are working from home and they're finding out because they are home and they're having their dog with them all the time that even while they're there, their dog is having issues with being separate from them. Well, you haven't, again, not clients not knowing, they haven't done anything to teach the dog to be separate from them. Let's face it, dogs are pack animals. If they live with a pack of dogs without humans around, they would be with each other all the time. There wouldn't be any separation anxiety because there wouldn't be any, you know, need to be separate. But mm-hmm. we're not dogs, and we have to go out and go to the grocery store or, you know, maybe go back to work or, you know, do different things. And we have to prepare our dogs for that by teaching them how to be separate from us. Crating is one way. Commands are another. Down in place. Just today, one of my in-home clients, we're doing the down. And I said, when you put her in a down and you start doing duration down, which means having the dog hold that command for a period of time, an hour usually to start, don't have her right at your feet. Have her out there 4, 5, 6 feet away from you. You know, have the leash on her and you can use your long line, but have her be separate from you, holding that command over there. It's harder than her being right at your feet. Also, if you always teach it where she's right at your feet, then how are you going to be able to get up and move around about your house when you need to? You won't. You've only patterned the dog staying right at your feet. So, you know, commands down in place, and then also using the crate are ways that we start to teach dogs that they're okay when they're separate from us. To also then build up to where you can leave the room, right? And the dog holds command. And they're learning not just to listen and hold command, but that they're okay being separate from us. That's really, really important. And yeah, when they're having the ability, a lot of companies are finding out that, hey, our people work from home really well. So a lot of people are going to continue to work from home. So it's important for them to know that they need to teach their dog how to be separate. But as people start going, more and more start going back, yeah, they're going to be having these issues. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want a dog that follows me everywhere I go. I want to know that my dog is okay. She could be in another room for hours and be totally fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that too. She's a well-adjusted dog. That comes with training. You know, they're dogs after all. They're not humans, but they're dogs living in a human world. So I have to prepare them for those kinds of things. Or they might have to go to the vet and be away from us. Or they might have to go to camp and be away from us, right? So yeah, we have to teach them that. They don't know anything.
My dog would follow me around, but he would do it from a distance. He never was like right next to me. He would just be like on the other side of the room, just quiet and calm. He'd go to his crate. He'd hang out there for as long as he wanted. I'd get up because I was working in this room. So his crate was over there, and he would just come and go, and I would come and go. But if I went to the other side of the house, I could hear click, 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 click. Click, 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 click.
Yep.
I never saw him. I mean, it wasn't like he had to be right up with me. He just needed to be near somewhere.
Yeah.
It was never a problem. He didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
Luke is like that. And it's weird because he actually has probably the most anxiety out of any of them. Not separation anxiety, but just like he's like I said earlier, it's about to rain. So he's like all in a panic. It's almost gotten the opposite now that I work from home. He will spend 99% of his day upstairs. And I'm like, where's this dog at? What is he doing up there? Could not care less what I am doing downstairs. Maggie, on the other hand, again, my firstborn spoiled diva, is I get up and I leave the room and she's glued to my hip. And she wasn't always like that. I realized it a few months ago, once I was really starting to work from home, I'm like, she won't even go outside and use the bathroom unless I stand outside with her. I've had to retrain those things with her, and she's slowly getting it and understanding it. And now I take him to my mom's. If you don't need to be around me the whole time, I'm coming back. Get some time. Go do what you need to do. Go be normal again. And it's back to what you said. You're limiting what you think you're giving to your dog is the world, but you're actually really, you're making it so much smaller for them because their anxiety is just so much there.
That is a point that a lot of people don't pick up on is, in those moments, which can be a lot of moments, your dog's not in their best state of mind. You know, ask any dog owner, I think they would all say they just want their dog to be happy, knowing how to make that happen and knowing, you know, when their dog is happy and when they're not. I think a lot of people, when they see a calm, well-trained dog, I always say this because it's true, they think it's old, tired, or sad. I love that. And I'm just like, no, that's a well-trained dog. That's what a calm dog looks like. So,
Kathy, I think I questioned Terry to death today.
I think you did.
I'm still alive. Just saying.
I did write down the remote collar training idea episode. So I think if you're open to doing this again in the not too distant future, Terry, it's been so long since I've had a dog. I don't know anything about remote collar training.
Yeah. I'd love to pick your brain more on that subject.
So yeah, I think that's especially right now, given the conversation we just had about separation anxiety and training dogs to be more calm on their own. I think that'll be a great, if you would like to, that would be awesome.
Forget it. Never. No.
I know we've been so mean to you here today.
Obviously I have interaction with other humans on a daily basis, right? Because of training, but it's different than just like having a conversation with somebody, which is very nice and refreshing. So yes, anytime.
Well, I think we're about out of time because we try to keep the podcast to like 30 to 45 minutes tops, because otherwise people get bored. That's why we're trying to make it in smaller groups of information, puddles of information, so as it were. Terry, I'd like to thank you on behalf of All About Dog for being here today. It's been so much fun. It's just, as you said, nice to have a conversation about things like this. And that's why we do the podcast this way. We think it's who we are. We just So, yep, I'm Kathy Stone.
And I'm Julia Elliott.
And this is All About Dog. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.